The following message, Hospitality, was delivered to the adult Bible class of Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington on Sunday, June 17, 2018 by Pastor Matt Vincent of Grace Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
This morning we're going to talk about in Sunday school, hospitality. One of the difficult things on this side of the podium or this side of the lectern, when you come to speak only once or twice, is you don't know what the guy before you said or the guy after is going to say. So you hope and pray by the grace of God that you're not saying the same thing that was said last week or the same thing you may hear again next week. So I trust that this won't be something that's too repetitive or that you've heard too much of in the past. In some ways, it's hard to hear God's Word, even if it's the same topic too many times. And a lot of times, I know if, in my own case, if we hear it more than once, it's usually because we need it. The Lord knows we need it. And we just have to trust His providence in that way. And so I trust that that won't be the case, though, this morning. The word hospitality is translated five times that way in the New Testament. There are five verses that we're going to begin looking at this morning to kind of give us the introduction to what we want to talk about related to hospitality. It's going to be very simple this morning. Nothing too profound. We're just going to answer two questions about hospitality. What is it? Why do it? Nothing great, but yet very clear, hopefully, from Scripture. Turn with me, if you will, to begin with this morning, to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 13 actually contains the word that we're going to be looking at. I'm going to go back up actually to earlier to kind of get the beginning of the sentence here that Paul is giving to us. We'll kind of start up in verse 9 and I'll read verses 9 through 13. But verse 13 is what we're looking at this morning. Romans 12, 9 to 13. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Persevering in tribulation. Devoted to prayer. Contributing to the needs of the saints. Practicing hospitality. Turn over with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And it's interesting that this particular word actually appears twice, as we're going to see as we continue through our study this morning, twice in relation to the qualifications for the eldership. Very, very interesting that the apostle uses this word in relation to that. 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. Paul says, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. And there's our word again, hospitable. Turn over to Titus 1, verse 8. Again, Paul talking about the qualifications for an elder, for a pastor. And I'll start the sentence in verse 7. Where Paul begins, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable. There's our word again. Loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled. The writer to Hebrews uses this word in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 2. Here as the writer is concluding his book, in writing to the Hebrews, He says in verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality, that's our word again, to strangers. For by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it. And then the final verse that contains this word hospitality in the New Testament is over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 9. 1 Peter 4, 9. Peter tells the believers, be hospitable to one another without complaint. So five times in the New Testament, this word hospitality is translated for us from the original language. Now, what is hospitality? When we see this word in the New Testament, what is meant by that? What does the New Testament, and what is our Lord trying to teach us through that? Well, if we took, first of all, just an ordinary English dictionary and looked up the word hospitality, it would tell us that the meaning of the word is generous, friendly, a friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests and strangers. That would be the English definition. Now, in the original language, in the Greek, a word that's translated philoxenos is kind of a compound word. It's made up of two words. The word philos, which means friendly, or is even sometimes translated love in different places in the New Testament. And then the second word, xenos, which means strangers. Love to strangers. Now, it's very interesting that in Matthew 25, Jesus makes a direct reference to this. Turn with me back to Matthew 25 a minute. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus, here in the context, is talking about the last days and the judgment. And he's telling his disciples about two groups of people. One he's called the sheep, one he's called the goats. And then he gives some characteristics of them, what's going to happen to them, and what kind of a people they are. And as he's talking about this one group, initially called the sheep, in verse 35, he's giving some characteristics about them. And notice what he says about them. And I'll start again in verse 34, since that kind of starts the thought of what Jesus is saying, as he's talking about who are these sheep that he's going to put at his right hand. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. There again, we have what? Although it's not translated hospitality here, that's the thought, and that's the words, a form of the words that are being used here. What's Jesus saying? Well, the characteristic of these people who are sheep, what did they do? What do these sheep do? How are they marked? And actually, if we were to take time and study this whole portion of Scripture, we would see that this is one of the things actually Jesus is judging them by. What did they do with strangers and those who are in need? And we would find out that in this portion, among other things, Jesus isn't just talking about people in general who these sheep were helpful to, but he's in particular talking about his own people. How did they treat other Christians? When there were other Christians in need, what did they do? How did they treat my people? Because we find out later on in the passage, Jesus tells them, as you did to these, so you did to me. But this is our word again, hospitality. Love to strangers. And we saw that in Hebrews 13 too. What did the writer again? Don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers. he said. But not only is it it's love to strangers, it's also, the word can mean, as I mentioned earlier, generous to others. And that's probably also included why in the, when we're talking about the qualifications to the eldership, not only is it, are we talking about love to strangers, but generosity is included in that. Generosity to others. Hospitality includes what? Entertaining guests and showing them kindness, in particular, by providing food, by providing a place to stay. And it's interesting, again, that the original word here references strangers. And we've seen that in a couple of these verses. Now, I promised the brethren that I would stay behind this lectern this morning. So I can't wander around too much. So I am going to take my jacket off so that I can at least not feel quite so bound. But I'll hold on to the lectern tightly, gentlemen, so that I don't leave and everybody can hear me this morning. I did make that commitment, so I will do that. I want to give you a quote this morning from John Brown. John Brown, in his commentary that the Banner of Truth puts out on 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Here is his definition of hospitality. He said, "Hospitality is kindness to strangers, to persons not generally resident in the same place with ourselves, to persons with whom we are not on habit, the people we don't frequent with on a regular basis, and people who we are not intimately acquainted with. And this kindness is manifested by bringing them to our house, furnishing them with suitable entertainment there." Now, of course, we have to take it in the historical context. It was a little bit different historically then than it is here now, but the general definition remains the same. Hospitality is kindness to strangers, persons not generally that we are, such as family, I think in particular is what he's referencing to, or people who would be living with us regularly, directly related or indirectly related to us, a person we are not, people we're not intimately acquainted with. That's the definition, his definition of hospitality. Now, as we've seen here a couple of times in Scripture, in particular, the word strangers are used. The word strangers used. What is Scripture talking about? Strangers. Now, first thing that might pop in our, okay, you're talking, Pastor Vinci is probably talking about, like, you know, some guy I just meet on the street and he's in need. I have no idea who he is, never met him before, etc. and so forth. Is that what Scripture is talking about? Well, I want to kind of point out a couple of things to see if we can kind of flesh this out. Let's go back again to the Romans 12:13 passage. Let's look at that just a minute. And not only just the verse itself, but what's the context of what's going on in Romans 12? What's happening there? Is Paul, when he's giving this, when this command, as it were, to practice hospitality, when he tells us to do that, what's he been talking about both before and goes on even more afterward? What's the context here? Who are we doing all these things to? Is he talking in general just about how we live generally here, or is there a more specific thing? Well, look there with me. He says, "Love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." But then look in verse 10 what direction he starts going. Be devoted to who? One another in brotherly love. Well, he kind of narrows down a little bit who he's talking about. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of who? To everybody? To the saints. Practicing hospitality. What's the context? Who's Paul telling us to minister to? You hear? It's to each other. isn't it? This idea of hospitality, Paul's not talking about a generic general hospitality, though we should always be kind to those in need and try to meet those needs as God gives us ability. That's not the focus here. The focus here is each other. Practice hospitality among each other, with each other, one another. All right, now there's a problem, Pastor Vincent. Okay, but the Bible was talking about strangers. What didn't it talk about strangers? Before I answer that question completely, let's go back also to Peter's reference back there in 1 Peter. I also want to kind of take a look at what Peter's talking about here. 1 Peter 4, 9. Again, and I'll start just a little above that in verse 7. And it's kind of interesting what Peter's motivation is, and I'm not going to get into this part of it a lot this morning, but you know what his motivation is for what he's about to give us to do? Look at the beginning of verse 7. The end of all things is near. The motivation for what he's about to tell us to do is the Lord's about to come. The end of all things is near. So, as a result, here's some things you need to be doing and to be doing faithfully. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Here we are again. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to who? To the world in general? Just to the... No. To one another. Without complaint. Okay, you might say, well, maybe Pastor Vincent, what's being talked about then, maybe we've just got two kinds of hospitality then. Do we just kind of got each other and strangers? Well, back in Matthew 25, when we looked at that, what was Jesus talking about back there? And again, I don't want to get too deep in depth with that, but the strangers he was talking about were not strangers who were just generic people on the street. They're his people. I was a stranger. Now you say, okay, I still don't quite. Well, let's think about it a minute. If it were not for the gospel, would you know who I was? Would you know me? I'm just a postmaster in south of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Just live in a little town of probably 25, 30,000 people. I doubt you'd know who I was at all. You never heard my name. You know really nothing about me were it not for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But what has the gospel done? Let me pick on Rob this morning since he and I are good brothers. While Rob and I know each other, there is a sense where we're strangers. We love each other in the gospel, but do you know we're strangers? I don't know Rob. You know, I don't know much about Rob other than he's a deacon here at Emmanuel. He's a stranger. If Rob came to Grand Rapids and I showed him hospitality, would I be showing hospitality to a stranger? I would. Do you know there's a sense we're all strangers, except for those of us who may be family members, who God has blessed in that way? We're all strangers. We come from all walks of life. Were it not for the gospel, a lot of us in here wouldn't know each other. Some of us come from other parts of the country. Some of us, you know, would not be here at all were it not for the gospel. Not at all. We're strangers. We're strangers to one another. There is a sense where we are all strangers. And I do believe what the scriptures are telling us is be hospitable to one another. Why? You need to know one another and love one another and to minister to one another. You don't know one another. Oh, yes, we all love the gospel, the same gospel for which we're grateful. But that doesn't automatically mean I'm fully acquainted with everybody. And how do we love each other? By doing that. By ministering to each other. By meeting one another's needs. Do you remember Abraham in the Old Testament, what happened to him back in Genesis 18? He was out there kind of doing what he normally does, managing his servants and such. And then all of a sudden, here come these three or four guys walking down the road. Now, it's interesting that he kind of recognized kind of who they were right off the bat, which I think is kind of interesting in and of itself. But what did he do for those men? Who, it turns out, one of them may have been our pre-incarnate Savior, very possibly. We don't know that for sure, but it's a very good possibility that's the case. What did he do for them? Do you remember? What's he scurry around and all of a sudden say, "Hey, Sarah, get on it. We've got guests and we've got special guests. We've got unusual guests here." Now, these men, he knew these men were angels. We're not given all the details there, but he knew that. He knew something about them. It wasn't a total unknown. He somehow figured that out, or it was made known to him there in that passage. And he what? Ministered to them, did he not? Got them around, got them something to eat, and began to show hospitality to those men right away. Do you remember the example of Lydia in Acts chapter 16? Paul had preached the gospel there, and she and her household believed it. They were baptized, and then you know what she did? Turn to Acts 16, verses 14 and 15. Let's look and see. What did she do? It's kind of very interesting here. Now remember, as far as we know, up until this point, she didn't know who the Apostle Paul was. He didn't really mean anything to her. And then she heard the gospel and she believed. Verses 14 and 15 of chapter 16. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening to Paul preaching the gospel. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, see what she does here. She urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. What did Lydia do here? What was one of the first things that she did after she was converted? Well, wait a minute. These men don't have a place to stay. These are preachers of the gospel. They have no place to stay. I can take care of them. I have the ability, the means. Then I need to do it. And she presses the apostle and his companions until they do. Say, okay, we will come and stay. And she provides them hospitality. Now, these men are strangers. She has no idea where they're from. This is the first time she's met them. And yet, what does she do for them? She shows them hospitality. She entertains strangers. Now, what I'm saying to you this morning is I'm saying again that when the New Testament tells us to show hospitality, and even to show hospitality to strangers, we want to keep it in the context of the New Testament. It's not talking about people necessarily that we don't know. I think it's talking about, in the main, us ministering to one another as Christians. It may be in the same church. It may be, as you graciously do, for the men who come to teach and preach here. All those things. But that's what hospitality is. It's not a general, generic kindness of helping those in need or people we totally have no connection with at all. I don't think that's what the New Testament means. I think it's telling us that we need to have hospitality with one another, and that there is a sense in which we are strangers with each other. Now, that's the answer to our first question. What is it? Now, why? Why do hospitality? And you say, well, that's kind of a pretty, part of a pretty straightforward thing, I would think, Pastor Vincent. But I've actually had four things here, four reasons. Well, I believe the scriptures tell us we need to do hospitality. We go back again to that verse in Romans 12. Romans 12. Paul said in verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Now, if you have a New American Standard, I'm not sure about the King James, but I know the New American Standard has a footnote. And in the footnote, you notice that the word practicing actually could be better translated pursuing. Now, what do you do when you pursue something? You hear that word, what does that mean? When you pursue something, what are you doing? Are you kind of standing around waiting for it to come to you? Well, you know, if it happens to come my way, you know, okay, fine, that's good. No. We pursue something, we go after it until we get it. It's like the young man who's pursuing the young lady, right? He kind of works at it this way and that way, but he doesn't give up too easily until he's gotten what he's pursuing. Yes, Paul said, pursue hospitality. It's not something that, well, if it just providentially comes your way, go ahead and show some hunt. No, we need to be looking for the opportunities and grabbing them when they come. Going after them. What's so-and-so doing this week? Oh, they're not doing anything. Have them over. What's so-and-so doing next week? I don't know. Let's have them over as we're able. Now, yes, I'm not at all wanting to bind your consciences here to do things that we're not capable of, but as we're able to, this is what we need to be doing, as our schedules and other things permit it. And even occasionally maybe sacrificing a thing or two here to do it. Sometimes in this world, it's very easy just to get our daily schedules to run us instead of us run them. And I am as guilty of that as anybody, as my wife Diane will tell you. Sometimes I've just got to grab a hold of the schedule and start telling it what to do instead of it telling me what to do. And we have to do that. And if we're going to pursue hospitality, that's what we have to do. We have to make it happen. It's not going to happen on its own normally. We have to make it happen. We have to pursue it. So it's a command in Scripture. And we saw in 1 Peter 4:9, again, Peter said, we're to be hospitable to one another without complaining. Now that's kind of an interesting statement by Peter, without complaint. Kind of he's implying something. What do we have a tendency maybe to do once in a while? Maybe complain a little bit about being hospitable or saying it's not convenient. You know, I realize I said a minute ago, I don't have time. Now Peter said, no, we're to be hospitable and do it without complaining. Do it from a genuine, sincere heart that wants to minister to other people and show love to other people. So it's a command in Scripture, first of all. Secondly, the reason why we do it is it's a significant Christian characteristic. Now, why do you think I would say that? Where would I have seen that in those verses we were looking at today? Well, what? First of all, in 1 Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:8, we're talking about the qualifications of a pastor and an elder. What are we talking about? We're talking about a man who's mature in the faith, are we not? Well, what's something that characterizes him? He's hospitable. Now, something as I was growing up that always was, I don't know what word to use. I don't want to just say interesting because it was really more than that. It kind of, as a child, it kind of made me curious and in some ways even baffled me. Both my grandparents on my mother's side and my parents were very hospitable people. And I could say, in one sense, we had a swinging door on our house. It swung both ways. People were coming and going all the time. And I used to, as a child, unconverted child, went, how come we always, all these people are coming all the time? And my grandparents and my mom's side were the same way. Why is that? Well, now that I'm converted and can look back, I say, I know why. They loved the Lord and they loved his people. That's why we always had people over. There's somebody always over. Somebody was always coming and somebody going. Somebody was always staying overnight. Somebody was always coming to dinner. Somebody was always this or that. And it was it's something that characterized both my parents and grandparents. And I'm saying I had a good example in that way. But it's a significant Christian characteristic. It should characterize God's people. People should be able to say, wow, those people are hospitable. It should be something that stands out as a characteristic of our love for God. But thirdly, why should we do it? Well, thirdly, it's an encouragement to God's people. Is it not when you get, or I get, the opportunity to be invited to someone's house, doesn't even just the invitation alone, isn't that kind of an encouragement? That people would bother even to ask me over and open their home for me to come over? Most assuredly. In that passage again, back in Matthew 25, when Jesus is talking about, I was a stranger and you invited me in. What does that do for the stranger? How does that affect him or her? It's an encouragement. Somebody cares about me. Somebody really loves me. To the extent that they're willing to open their house to me and have me over. Not only does it encourage the person who's coming into your home, but it also provokes them to do what? To be hospitable themselves. Wow, look at this. This is great. I need to do this too. And Scripture tells us that's one thing about, as we show love to one another, we provoke each other to do it. It kind of is a snowball effect. And so we encourage not only the person themselves that we've shown them love, but also hopefully provoke them to be hospitable themselves. So thirdly, that's the third reason. Fourth, and not necessarily final, but fourthly, what are we doing when we show hospitality to God's people? We show our love to God. Do we not? That was Jesus' whole point in Matthew 25. How do I know? I'm going to be real good here. I'm not going to wander away. I'm tempted, but I'm not going to. How do we know that this person's a Christian? Jesus said, I'm going to look out among all these people, millions and millions I've created. And how am I going to pick my people out from among the millions, the sheep, from the goats, and put the one on the right and the one on the left? I'm going to look to see who treated my people, who loved my people. And that's what he goes through in Matthew 25. Did you love my people? Or did you treat them with disdain? Or indifference? Did you love my people? Did you invite them in? When they had needs, did you provide for them? And though we've been blessed in our day to this point not to be physically persecuted, in that day, when they were even persecuted and put in jail for the faith, Jesus said, did you go and visit them? Did you risk your own reputation as being associated with someone like this? Maybe even being thrown in jail yourself? to go visit that person? Did you love my people? Jesus is saying, that's how I'm going to pick out my people from all the rest. They loved me by loving my people. So, it shows our love to God. And John, of course, in his letter, 1 John, which is more or less, as many call it, a love letter in the sense that it talks about this very thing, the importance of loving God's people. In 1 John 4:21, kind of summarizing, John summarizing at the end of his chapter here, talking about the importance of loving one another as he did in verse 7, and then goes on down, and then he kind of ends the chapter by saying, "And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also." So, four reasons then why we should show hospitality. It's a command in Scripture. It's a significant Christian characteristic. It's an encouragement to God's people. And it shows our love to God. Now, as we tie this up this morning, what can we, as God's people, learn from this definition of hospitality, what it is, and why we should show it? Well, just as I've said here, it tells us clearly that this is something that should characterize us as God's people. We as God's people need to be hospitable. And it's not something, brethren, that we want to do because we have to do it. If we've come to the place we do it because we have to do it, then we've really lost our understanding of what it means. This should be something we want to do. And we delight in doing. It's a joy. I'm not saying it won't be difficult at times. I'm not saying it won't require sacrifice at times. It will. It'll require both. But it's something that we should desire to do. We want to do because we love God and we love our Savior and we love His people. His people are our people, as the old saying used to go. Okay? And that's why the church is called a family. Because they treat one another in a way a family would usually do. That blood relatives would usually do. Except these are strangers. These are people who, apart from the gospel, wouldn't even know each other for the most part. And yet, look how they treat each other. And as the world looks in from the outside, they're kind of puzzled. Wow. Why do those people do that? Why do they show love to each other? Why do they have each other over? They don't even know each other hardly. I mean, why do they do that? Because they love God. Because they love Christ. That's why they do that. And they love His people. So this should be something that really characterizes us as God's people. And as I said earlier, brethren, we need to ask God to help us to pursue it. It's something that should be kind of in the forefront of our thinking. It shouldn't be something that kind of, when we have nothing else to do, maybe we'll have somebody over because we've got nothing going on this week. I don't think that's what the Scripture tells us here. I think what the Scripture is trying to communicate to us is this is something we need to really be going after. And as much in our day as in any day, that we really need to be showing hospitality to each other. And there's so much you can do. What can happen when you show hospitality to one another, other than what I've mentioned about encouraging one another, when you do that and maybe even provoking one another, what are some of the other things that happen when you're showing hospitality to each other? And this time I'm throwing this open to you. This is not just a rhetorical question. What happens when we show hospitality to each other? Okay, number one, you find common interests. You find out that maybe there are some things that you might like to do that someone else likes to do. Hey, you go visit Pastor Vincent, you're going to find out he's got golf clubs in the back. Okay, guess what? He gets on the golf course every once in a while when he's able because he likes it. You know? That's exactly right. You find common interests and things that sometimes you can do together as brethren that you might not know. What else? What else happens with Rob?
You know one another's needs.
You find out needs that people have. You know, a lot of times people just don't come out with a flag saying, I have needs, you know, and start waving the white flag. Most of the time that's not the way you find out. Frustrates the deacons too because they like to meet those needs but they don't hear about them. No, when you have hospitality and have people over, all of a sudden you start to find out people have some needs. And maybe some needs that you can help meet. Yeah, that's exactly right. What else? Those are two good things.
I think, as you've been mentioning, for strangers, except for the gospel, there's a good hello on Sunday mornings, but as you are hospitable, you get to know.
Okay, that's exactly right. Getting to know people in the gospel and just strengthening your ties in the gospel, okay? Where's it? And you may find out somebody's testimony. You may find out more about somebody's testimony. Maybe you knew a little bit about it because they joined the church, but then you find out more about it. It strengthens your ties in the gospel tremendously. Other thoughts that go along. These are all very, very good. Wait.
Well, it's like it helps you get to know the people, and actually, you grow in love for one another, and it just makes for more inside the church, more unified church. You know everybody's needs, just who they are, and then I also think of kind of playing on what Pat said. In a greater sense, when strangers come in, you get to know about where they're from, and there's you see the church as a larger group rather than just yourself here in Seattle.
And that's a very good point. Okay, Wade brings up two points. Number one, it helps us grow in our love for each other, just generally knowing more about each other. You know, I know more about their family. I know more about what they do for a living, you know, generally. And you learn to love each other more. Because as you know those things, what? You can help maybe meet needs. Maybe you can help encourage. Maybe you can help lots of things. And then Wade made another point that I haven't mentioned yet. But that's that what happens when you have someone, and of course you folks have this happen a lot right now with the pastors that all come in, but someone comes in, let's just say you have a visitor come in and you find out, yeah, these are Christian people. That kind of becomes clear. But do those Christian people that come to visit, do they get four or five people, ask them over for dinner or at least try to get together with them somehow as they come into the church and try to find out about the church and kind of visit the church? Is that something that happens?
Usually not.
Usually not. It doesn't often happen. Now, I will say that that's something in Grand Rapids we work hard at, and we've had our ups and downs with that. But we talk when someone comes in, and our family has worked hard on that actually, not just the church. And we're not as consistent as we should be, but we try when we see somebody new come into the church and talk to them and found out, hey, yeah, these people are Christians, they're looking for a church possibly, or we're visiting for some reason, snatch them up. Either take them home that Sunday, or if we find out they're going to be back next Sunday, or during the week, try to get them over. Try to get to know them. Find out who they are. Find out, why did you come to our church? Why here? Why didn't you go down the street? You know, all those things, that very, very important parts of showing hospitality. So you have very, very good. Any other thoughts on that?
We have a real intimate reason to pray for them because we learn so many things and we learn them straight from them, and so we have a more solid reason to pray.
Very good. Very good. If we pray for one another, brethren, you talk about being able to pray more, what I call pray more intelligently. You get to know somebody, you can pray for them a lot better. If I know Wade's having a problem at work, and because he was over last week, he was telling me about it, now I can pray for him about it, right? Whereas otherwise, I might just pray generically. Now I know I can pray specifically.
Jesus said, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me, so it ministers
to Christ. It definitely, amen. Yep, and as we saw in Matthew 25 and some of the other passages, we minister to Christ himself in doing it. Because we are his people, and we do.
The love of the brethren is a manifestation of the love of God in us. So receiving hospitality could actually teach us about the love of God and make us more confident about the love of God towards us.
Very good. That's exactly right. Receiving that can be a real encouragement and a reminder of how much God loves us. That's exactly right. Yes, go ahead.
Just to expand on that thought too, though, Christ said that the love of the brethren for one another, when the unbelieving world sees that, they recognize it as Christ. They recognize him as Christians. So it makes a statement in the broader world as well. It's a testimony to them when they see it. Christians loving one another,
mm-hmm.
both of what a Christian is and who Christ is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. Jerry?
It's one of the dynamics of Matthew 25. They're called strangers who are visited. And in verse 40, it says, you've done this to the least of these, my brethren, you judge me. So it's the whole dynamic of how do we manifest ourselves in what the Bible calls the family of God.
Mm-hmm.
We're family. We're family with
yep.
Jesus,
right.
According to the passage. But
yep.
We also, because we tend to isolate ourselves from one another, we live our own little lives,
mm-hmm.
We have our homes, especially in this culture, we don't break those barriers
mm-hmm.
that exist.
Amen.
And so in this way, it actually makes us dynamically live out family. Because we are strangers, we don't know each other, we've come from different backgrounds, different, all kinds of different contexts.
Yep.
How do we actually manifest family unless we do this?
That's right. Now, one thing you're exactly right, Jerry, and that's it's something, as I said earlier, we have to remember as God's people. God wants us to treat each other like we're a family, okay? As if we were all related to each other, because you know what? We are. We're related to each other in a way that no other people are. And we need to treat each other that way, and sometimes we don't do all as well about that. Like Jerry said, in our culture, Americans are very independent people. That can be a strength and it can be a weakness. Sometimes it can be a strength in that we can not be easily allured by some things. But it can be a weakness in the sense that we have a tendency to want to live the way we want to live, and that kind of keep everybody at arm's length. Like Jerry was saying, we all kind of live in our own little cubicle, and nobody else needs to get inside that cubicle. You know, we're comfortable as long as everybody's out here. We're good with that. You know, and there's a lot of reasons for that we don't have time to go into this morning, but that's why hospitality is good. Good for the person doing it, good for the person receiving it.
It gives us a chance to put up our Clint Eastwood face, our John Wayne face.
That's exactly right. Again, it can give us a way to minister to each other's needs and to learn those needs. But as you pointed out, brother, a lot of times on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, for various reasons, some good, some not so good, we have a tendency to be kind of come and we're at a certain level, and that's it. Okay, we get to a certain level. Part of it's just because of the nature of the day and the things that have to be done. It's not all negative necessarily. But you can only do so much on the Lord's Day, okay, at the Lord's house. You just can't minister to God's people like they need to be ministered to that way. You need to have them in your home. As our brother pointed out, you need to find out about them. As has been mentioned earlier, their needs, how can you meet their needs if you don't know what they are? Maybe you can help. Maybe you learn about somebody and their abilities. Wow, I didn't know he could do that or she could do that. Or wow, did you know that maybe we could use him to do that in the church? You know that? We never knew that. And that's just because that particular person wasn't real forward. They don't go about waving their own flag, you know, and you find out about them. That's exactly right. So you see, hospitality, and my point in asking all these things, all these contributions have been good. You're thinking along the right lines, and that's encouraging to me, because that's what we have to do, right? That's what the Lord wants us to do. We are His people, and we have to be hospitable. We have to love each other. In one sense, if we don't, trying to get the glory all by ourselves is going to be a rough go. And that's not the way the Lord intended. He does not intend it that way. He doesn't intend for me, Pastor Vincent, to go live in his nice little house in this little place and really accept on Sunday when he shakes hands with the people and maybe he teaches a lesson or maybe he does this or that in the church and then goes home and that's the end of it. That's not the church. That's not the Christian church. That's not biblical. That's not Bible. Now, sadly, in our day, even churches in our own circles are struggling with this pretty badly. That's how we want to be. Like I said, we just, everybody okay? Don't get too close to me. You might find out that I'm not quite what you thought I was, or that I don't do quite as well at this that you thought this or that, you know. Maybe you find out that I do have a few warts. If you get a little closer, you might see them, you know. Ooh. You know, and that's where love really comes in, doesn't it? We just kind of look by the warts. We don't pay attention to them. And maybe if they even need a little help with them, we'll give them a little help. But they're not going to bother us. Mm-mm. Just as all of you have been saying, right? That's what love does. Even the sins, as our brother said, that we may be struggling with. Do we put someone off? Well, I don't want to have anything to do with them. We're not having them over. You know, they're struggling with this. You know, they're fighting with each other, or that couple is, or they got troubles with their kids. We don't want their kids over because of such and such, you know. And God help us. If the Lord treated us that way, brethren, we'd be a mess. No, we got to do just the opposite. We got to look past those things. Can we help? Can we be a good influence? What can we do? We need to minister to each other. And for each one of us that is in here, all of us are in different places in the Christian life. We're all over the place for different reasons, for age, for the number of years we've been Christians. And so we all need help. I need help. That's the other thing that often gets, and I just say this, I can say this here because I'm not at home and not feel too bad about it, but you know, the pastors often get overlooked. Do you know why that is? Why do you think that is? And I can say that because I was a PK, okay? I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad was a pastor for many, many years. The pastor, he's got it all together. He doesn't need anybody to minister to him. You know, he's the teacher. He's supposed to know it all, right? He's got his act together. You know, that's too bad. Because many pastors are not ministered to. That actually affects the congregation in ways they probably don't understand. That's kind of sad. And I'm not here to point fingers or cast aspersions on anybody, but just to remind you, the pastors are just part of the congregation. They just have a responsibility, different responsibility, that's all. They're no better than anybody else. Last time I checked, I had two arms and two legs just like everybody else in here. They have the same struggles. They got kids. They have teenagers. All the things that go that you go through, they go through. Now, God has given them gifts that just happen to differ from other people's gifts. But the pastors need to be ministered to, too. Don't forget them. The deacons do. And again, Rob didn't come up to me today and say nobody's showing he and his family hospitality. That's not it either. But deacons are the same way. People have the tendency to think, oh, you know, those guys, you know, we made them officers. They've kind of, because they've got it all together. Well, no. And again, I'm not pointing fingers at Rob, but I think he'd be the first one to admit that, no, we don't got it all together. We need to be ministered to. Deacons do, just like everybody else. So don't think of the officers of the church that they're any different and they don't need hospitality. That's not true. And sometimes the most encouraging times that elders and pastors and deacons have is when they get to go to someone's house and just spend time with them. You know, just to spend time. Just to get to know them. That can be so. Well, this has been good this morning, brethren. Very good. Your feedback has been very good this morning. I hope you'll think about this carefully. Again, I didn't bring this morning because I'm saying Emmanuel is not a hospitable people. That's not the point. Please don't think that. If you're doing this, I would just encourage you to do it all the more. Paul said we need to pursue it. May God help us all to pursue hospitality with one another. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We humbly confess, Father, that we don't show hospitality the way we should, and we ask you to help us to do it better. Help us to pursue hospitality as you commanded us in your word, and to do it without complaining, to do it joyfully, Father, to do it delightfully as unto you. Bless us now as we go shortly and to worship you. Might we come to worship you in spirit and in truth for your glory and the glory of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.